Welcome to B2B Impact by BDB. Join me, Matt Smith, CEO of BDB, and Oliver Breewood, BDB's Head of Digital and Technology, as we get together to discuss the myriad of trends, topics, opportunities, and developments in the world of B2B marketing and communications. Our aim is to arm you with content, opinions, and insights that deliver lasting and meaningful impact across the B2B community, helping the global businesses and brands we partner with navigate their way through the information and communication revolution. Are you ready to make an impact? Hi everybody, and welcome to this episode of the B2B Impact. And this week we're joined by Ollie and Emma, one of our associate directors here at BDB. So this week's episode, we are focusing on the topic of sustainability. Those of you that may follow us or know us may have already seen our most recent issue, which was all focused around sustainability, greenwashing. It's quite a provocative issue, I would say, challenging the role that marketers can really play in the wider sustainability agenda. So, Emma, do you want to kick us off with running us through how we went about selecting this and why we picked it and why we think it's relevant for our clients and listeners?
Yes, of course. So, first of all, I think sustainability is a hot topic. Mm-hmm. It's on everybody's lips right now. Especially for B2B businesses, could argue slightly behind the times than B2C brands, and it's suddenly become this must-have thing that that everybody needs to do and talk about to be able to kind of play in their relative sectors. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're receiving more and more requests from our clients to support their sustainability marketing efforts. And I think even just going back a few years, people would choose to only choose to work with kind of sustainability focused agencies.
Yeah.
But that's changing, and it's becoming an intrinsic part of the marketing that we do with our clients, whether it's at a corporate level or a product level.
Yeah.
And we wanted to put something out there in the market that could help them navigate what is a very kind of trying task.
Yeah.
When you're trying to manage multi-stakeholders from anything from kind of supply chain and building that robust sustainable supply chain all the way through to the marketing messages that you're putting out there into the market.
Yeah. From, I suppose this is an open question, from our experience and what we're seeing with clients, how often do we think that the marketers are supported by the wider business? Because obviously the marketers are going to want to be able to communicate that sustainability message. Mm-hmm. How often does their business actually have genuine efforts put in place to make that sustainable?
I think it depends a bit at the minute though on the size of the business, because certain businesses, the more larger corporates, PLCs, have been mandated with things like ESG coming in. So in the sense of there's a requirement for them to fulfill a need and an ESG agenda. Speaking from personal experience and my contacts and my network, there's a real mixed bag of responses in terms of what your question is, of people who truly want to support and drive environmental and governance-based issues, and others that feel it's an obligation they just need to fulfill, and it's a tick box exercise for them to do. So I think it's a mixed bag. I also think, linked to our client base, in the earlier years, going back 4 or 5 years perhaps, when sustainability was first starting to rear its head in the B2B world, it was much easier to kind of say something, stand out from the crowd and put your stance out there. Whereas now, as we're 4 or 5 years down the line, there's a lot more apathy building towards purpose-driven brands, and to sort of differentiate yourself or stand out in the crowd is becoming increasingly difficult, which is why I think more clients are reaching out to us to help them shape the messaging and authentically kind of tell their story. But
in terms of support though,
yep.
I think there's a bit of a chicken and egg scenario there, where some of our contacts are asked to put out the sustainability messaging before the actual groundwork and foundations have been put in place. Mm-hmm. To be able to really authentically do that.
Yeah.
So, and then there's the flip side of it, where some companies are too frightened to go out there and say anything until they've dotted all of their I's and crossed all of their T's in terms of what that sustainability kind of model for their business looks like. So there's this, like,
there's a fear of running a business that's just being shot down now. That's, yeah, what I mean. So I think with anything, the whole cancel culture regime of, I mean, in our business, you don't want to make any claims that you can't support. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the stats in the knowledge of something like, was it 71% of potential employees are researching the credentials and, mm-hmm, and the claims of a company in regards to sustainability before they even think about working for you. I question the stat in terms of like where are they looking and what can they prove. But again, it makes you nervous to make any claims in that marketplace, and particularly when you're in a sector as tight as some of the sectors are that we operate within, you have a lot of clients saying a lot of similar things. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair to say. So how do you authentically tell your own story, I guess, is part of the challenges that clients are facing at the minute. In terms of, I could go all over the show my notes here because I really enjoyed this issue, but I mean it more in the sense of what we term the moral versus the commercial imperative. So there's kind of a, businesses are typically around to make money, to make profit, to be successful in that regard. That's the old classic business model. And sustainability quite often doesn't make things cheaper or more efficient or better. And I think that's where I've seen a real conflict. Have you seen that, experienced that, felt that in your businesses, in the businesses, your brands you're working with?
I think I had that question come up just with regards to digital quite recently, because it's something I've not really thought about before from a digital perspective. Mm-hmm. I suppose my stance on this is, let's take a website as an example. The website's, it's there, and it's there regardless. I've never really stopped to consider the different impact the website could have depending on how it's built, how it's, there's the obvious one of how it's hosted, i.e. where it's actually stored and served, where the computers have to be on 24/7, what type of power fuels that server. But then there's also like the load time of that website, and because obviously a larger site with larger files requires more processing power at both ends for the end users, using more of their power, but also at the server side and everything in between, all the networking infrastructure that is. But there's also things as, you know, down to, you know, background color of a website, where something that's got a black background is going to use less power to show than something that's using a white background. But then I start to question how far somebody's willing to go, because there's a usability impact to it. Like,
that ties into events and exhibition stands perfectly. But I'm going to take it back a step first, if I can. Because in the sense of one of the things that I was thinking about, you've seen a lot of movement of, are we fixing the root cause of the issue, or are we plastering over it? So we see a lot across our client base and ourselves and in our own industry, carbon credits, carbon offset, philanthropy in terms of throwing money at causes or supporting certain charity work or whatever it may be. Are we seeing a shift in the B2B? And I think my answer is yes, but are we seeing a shift in the sense of moving more towards addressing the root cause of the issues like supply chains and production and so on like that across the clients that we work with?
I think definitely yes. I think, I mean, the way we've coined it in this issue is it's sustainability is now becoming a license to operate, rather than something that you choose to do or that something that's going to help you stand out in the marketplace. One of the big questions that I've got whirring around my brain at the moment is, now that everyone's doing the sustainability thing, you know, we're walking around trade shows recently, everyone's got sustainability messaging on their stands and that type of thing, is what's next? Once everyone has met this, like, almost like minimum viable product in terms of their sustainability credentials, where does marketing go next? I think it's going to have a real kind of like impact on B2B marketing and what happens.
I also still find it incredibly ironic, because it was linked to the pandemic point around, you know, sustainability messaging all over massive exhibition stands that are put in a hall for 1 week.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic still. So one of the things I picked up on here was kind of my personal disappointment of the way how quick everybody was to go back to the world that was prior to the pandemic.
Yeah.
So during the pandemic, it forced innovation, products were developed, services were developed to enable the globe to still connect and communicate well. Not as optimized potentially as what it is face-to-face, obviously. I'm not decrying that. But I thought there'd be a middle ground that was met somewhere, where there'd be a slight return to normality with some aspects being retained.
I think we've seen that, haven't we, with regards to things like virtual events and webinars. Yeah. A lot of that has fallen by, because everybody's like, we'll just go back to doing the exhibitions that we used to doing.
But this is where I question the role of marketing, how they play a role in that function, because should they be fighting that as a cause? So are we still driven by sales, really? And we're still actually driven by profit? Because if you're not at the trade show, you're not competing, you're not signing deals. And you can argue all you like, well, the exhibition stands are modular and they're more sustainable.
You still have to get all your people there and you have to fly
there.
There's
still a hell of a carbon footprint of doing something like that. And you look at some of the portfolios of our clients and the events and prospects that they go to, they're considerable, aren't they?
I think it'll take a brand who is ultimately driven by that purpose to take a stand and say, we're not doing this anymore. But I mean, certainly within the sectors that we're working in, we've not seen that yet. What I would say is the, like you mentioned just then, Matt, the stands are nowhere as big or nope. grandiose as they used to be. You know, they're a lot more scaled back. We've been having conversations with our clients around the size of the team that they're sending to the shows. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like we were just saying, it's papering over the cracks, really. And
strides are being made. You can't decry that. I think there's effort being made for sure. It's just, I mean, maybe it's my personal experience at times. I mean, because you've just come back from Vita Foods, haven't you? Where even I noticed from the photos and the videos, the stands look nothing like they did in
2019. Gone are the days.
18, 19, was it?
Big double-decker stands. They've gone now.
Even the crazy aerial displays and everything weren't there, I thought, on the front row, which was interesting to see. But you know, the conversations that we've had with about modular stands, where they are typically a bit more expensive, so to be more sustainable costs a little bit more in cash. It's amazing how many businesses choose not to embrace it on that basis, or aesthetically they're not quite as appealing. Mm-hmm. A modular stand, I would never argue with you on that, they're not as appealing as a tier one, you know, build and burn kind of approach. But that shouldn't deter you from doing it, because you can see a slight join in the panel. It does. So then, you know, they want to go back to the old way it was. So there's this constant battle, I think, between like romance and reality, in terms of this romantic idea that everybody's being more sustainable. And I say you start peeling it back, and I'm not quite sure it's quite as authentic.
There's a commercial imperative behind everything, and I think until we find a way, and when I say we, I mean the industry finds a way to measure sustainability, because there is absolutely no
benchmark
metrics. Like there's nothing there at the moment for businesses to measure their sustainability impact. You know, there's accreditations and things kicking around, but there's no like universal
It's not like you've got an ISO qualification of you are a sustainable business.
No, I think
as far as
it's
I know.
A little bit where like B Corp is heading and stuff like that, isn't it? I guess, but it's loose.
Making strides, but there's nothing to measure that at the moment, so everyone's almost like finger up in the air, and I think that then intrinsically makes it harder for marketers to then communicate the sustainability credentials of the brand. I think we're just going to get stuck in this cycle of commercial versus moral until that exists.
But do you think it will ever shift? Because I'm thinking more here about the stats and the quotes here about the modern buyer, and the buyers getting younger and people of influence getting younger, so millennials and Gen Z's becoming people in powerful positions in businesses and influential. Do you think they'll be the people that drive the agenda, because apparently it's very important to those individuals that they'll be the ones that drive it through, as you see the boomers and the older guys kind of stepping away a little bit more?
Potentially, but I mean, there's an imperative to do something about it now. I think people are being forced to act now, so it could be that might be too late, but one thing you could say is, at least if the wheels start turning, we'll get there eventually, and by the time those people do come through, there might actually be more innovation in terms of how do you get a sustainable B2B supply chain. Like, when you start to think about that, that's absolutely mind-blowing, the lengths that you've got to go to make sure that entire supply chain is 100% conforming to whatever sustainability measures you have in place.
There's constant conflicts all the way through it, because even when I think about it from like an investment perspective, would I take a lower return on an investment because they've enabled them to be able to be a more sustainable business?
Or do you do that, or is that decision more often taken when you think there's an opportunity there that you think this business will do well because it's sustainable, and therefore it's, I suppose, going back to the point you said earlier, that might have been a niche before, but it's becoming less of a niche, and therefore there's less opportunity there.
I mean, the different stakeholders are obviously considered in the issue as well, aren't they? There's obviously regulation, certain industries that we work within, you will literally get a hefty fine if you're not compliant with the measures that are put in play. There's the employee side of things, so people are choosing to employees. We've got the stat in there, the 71%. As I say, it's difficult to qualify somebody, like you're saying, into the KPIs at the minute. But it doesn't do us any harm.
I get the impression that, so a lot of smaller startups have this purpose from within, from day one of being established. And at the moment, a lot of the bigger corporate internationals are kind of getting away with it because they can afford to get away with it. So any fines, hefty fines that are slapped on them, it's almost like it's not even a drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
So I think it needs to get tighter, maybe. It needs to, this measurement point is a thing that I just keep coming back to. How is it going to change if we're not able to?
It's been driven by the consumer, flipping it the other way. I'm trying to think of what, who's going to drive the agenda.
100%.
I find it very hard that it's going to be driven by the businesses alone going, okay, we're going to spend 100 million this year on being more sustainable.
I can see it happening more when somebody, i.e. the end consumer, at the end of this long supply chain,
boycott,
is going to say, yeah, I'm not buying from you because I don't believe you're sustainable, which makes the whoever produces that consumer product then want their supply chain to be sustainable.
And then I've caught it in my own head, and then you've got like BP, Shell, all these other businesses that we still have to buy from.
Yeah.
And we've got all the energy companies at the minute that I'm sure we'd love not to buy from and not be incurring the hefty charges that we are, but we're forced into that situation where more mindful brands will just emerge and get a greater foothold on the market. But if the consumers do, you know, show their buying power, I guess, or withdraw it, potentially that could be another driving factor that comes into it all. But
education is a key point, I think, because even when we're speaking about sustainability and the fact that it's this huge trend across the world, not everyone understands it. And like you say, people will continue to keep using brands. I think there's a role for education, either from the B2C brands or the B2B brands, to communicate, you know, the important stuff and drive that change and see it on a wider mass scale.
How do we see the role of marketing evolving then in terms of the genuine role that can play? Because I feel sorry for marketeers at the minute because they're caught in this middle ground in a way of being told to communicate a message, knowing full well on all occasions it's not that authentically backed up, or it may not be anyway, I should say, to caveat what I'm saying. But and also with a lot of our clients, and we've come across this a few times, in terms of like transient product portfolios where you've got some products that are super sustainable, but on the other end of the scale, they've got some products in the portfolio that really, really aren't, or you know, super chemically based or something. So to claim they're green when you've got that in your product portfolio.
You can buy green from them, but the whole company.
Yeah.
They'd have to really completely overhaul their model.
Marketing is tasked with communicate our sustainable messaging, knowing full well in the portfolio above there, there's some pretty toxic stuff, let's say.
I think there's a real opportunity for marketing to drive the agenda. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of our contacts maybe don't feel like they can or want to do that because there's so much more at play. But as a marketer, you know, we understand the audiences that we're selling to, and quite often we're in this luxurious, some people might not say luxurious, yeah, position, but of bringing multiple stakeholders together, mm-hmm, around one table and being able to even just open up that conversation. So while marketing isn't going to be able to overhaul the product portfolio overnight, they have got this unique view of the business that others don't have, both from a customer perspective, but also from a kind of internal bringing people together perspective. And I think that's where marketers can really drive change and share insights.
Colleen, anything to add
to that? I was just kind of thinking about that from the different stakeholders that are involved there, and thinking about from a product innovation point of view, how often are people trying to push their more sustainable option? But I would like to think that product managers and other people involved in kind of running these B2B businesses are on board with it, or at least, mm-hmm, aware of they need to get on board with it. So even if their timeline's not as immediate, they've got to start moving in that direction. So in the example you're talking about, Matt, where you might have a sustainable product or suite of products and some unsustainable ones, mm-hmm, I would like to think that most companies know they need to start trying to push in that direction,
yep,
and move customers to more towards a sustainable, because at one point or another, it's going to end up biting them, I would think, yep, whether that's through fines from regulators, or was that through at some point that customer choice, it's just going to end up going that way. Obviously, we've seen from the way governments act with this issue around the world, timescales are often, unfortunately, decades before real serious action is going to be taken. But I would like to think that it's better to be starting to think about that early rather than waiting until you're being forced to make every decision.
And are we saying it's marketing's role to
definitely, like you said,
that
they've got the finger in the pulse there, so there's the option to the ability to help try and push it. I guess it depends how well marketing is listened to in any organization,
mm-hmm,
but there's definitely that that aspect of having the finger on the pulse to be able to start trying to drive that conversation, say there's an opportunity here or there's a messaging here that we should be capitalising on.
There's also the big role of the internal comms side of things within the businesses, I think, as well, because it's no use the C-suite setting an agenda and marketing being told to communicate it, and nothing else is done with the business other than a charity day once a year or something.
Yeah.
So
the sales team, the account team, everybody
educating the entire organisation about not only what their goals are, but where they're up to and what the messaging should be around that, and how you can authentically communicate that to the various stakeholder groups, as you say. A big thing for me, people are frightened to speak, as we said earlier, but I'd encourage everybody, including business and branch from our size and upwards, in a way, to just be honest about where you're at on the journey and appreciating it is a journey. You know, I think that's that. There's a nervousness, to be honest, but in the sense of we're all on the journey together. You're at some point on it. Say where you're at. Say what you're aiming to do. Say what your goals are, what you'd love to achieve as a business and a brand. And even saying that to your stakeholders shows a commitment, and then you've got to have the traction to get to
it. I think other than that, just speaking from, I guess, personal experience and to some extent assumptions, I imagine there's probably a lot of apathy with some employees. I can imagine, and maybe this isn't always fair, it depends on the organisation, but I can imagine sales teams not necessarily caring that much. It's like, just buy one of my products.
But I think that's where stuff like the climate neutral, the carbon offset, the B Corp stuff comes into play, because a lot of effort goes in play to get those accreditations. They're quite often at a not insignificant expense to a business as well. But if it's just a badge that you've got on your website, and we can fall foul of this as well, you know, openly, we are climate neutral, but in the sense of what have we done to further reduce the impact of that, or reduce our impact?
And I think the other aspect I was going to say, connected to that internal comms point, is I suppose it's making it real for those individuals as to why it matters to the business, to the community, to the world.
Of everyday life, culture. Mm-hmm. There's quite a lot of brands out there, I think, at the moment, like retrospectively trying to make their operations sustainable, and that it's not from within. Mm-hmm. And I think this, you can see the difference between these purpose-driven startups and the big internationals. Like, it's stark.
I also think that the media has a big thing to answer for, though, because even as a business leader, you do sit there like thinking, well, we're not Patagonia. Like, we don't give all our profits away. You know, that's not what we do here as a business. So, like, is it okay to say that we don't do that? So it's a strange one in terms of trying.
But
to get
I think that gets pulled up for criticism, giving just a certain percentage of your profits away, because again, it's not coming from within.
Mm-hmm.
A model where you say, like, for every purchase we plant a tree or this, that's from within. That is for this order that you're placing. This is the good that is happening. Whereas, you know, one-off donations of a certain percentage of profits to this charity or that charity, it's not as meaningful. So that's the difference again.
It's also how equal is it? Like, if we've got a manufacturing process that's polluting to some extent, how equal is it that we planted a tree?
Yeah.
How long does it take for that tree to grow and start producing oxygen at the level that's going to offset everything else? And
okay. Anything else anybody wants to add into the mix? Any other points you wanted to cover off today?
I think just on the marketing front and the kind of practical tips that we can give people to go away. So yours was a good start, Matt, in terms of just be honest in terms of where you're at on the journey. But another thing I would add to that is you can't avoid communicating about sustainability because you're worried that you might get it wrong. And if you do get it wrong, you need to be willing to kind of fess up to it. But this is happening now, and you need to start now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point waiting until you have everything, you know, completely ready. Little by little, like, kind of start to look at your communications and understand where you can dial up those messages, because I think some brands, at least, that haven't started doing it already are going to get left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's chicken and egg again.
Yeah.
But, you know, the time is now.
I think the point, it can't be ignored, can it? And
no.
You're seeing some brands at the minute who are burying their heads in the sand is one approach to it, and just hoping it kind of goes away. And I think we're all aligned. It's not going anywhere, this one. So
I think it's one of the ones you might get away with that for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
at some point, that's going to end up biting you, so you'd be better looking at how you're going to get on board with that now.
Yeah. Okay. Great stuff. Covered a lot of ground there. We really enjoyed crafting this one. We really enjoyed producing this for your enjoyment. We hope you enjoy consuming it. Reach out to us if you'd like a hard copy. It's also available in digital formats with the various links on the website and across our social media profiles. Thanks to Emma and Ollie for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time on the B2B Impactor. Cheers.
Thanks.